It's been good so far, just looking at a little history and how this church came together. You know, they received Christ and got heavy, like, persecution for it. They got heavy, friction and pressure put on them. And their town they lived in was so, aggressive against the gospel that even when they went to the next couple towns over, they followed them. And they just gave them all kinds of bits and trouble, you know, because it is spiritual warfare, isn't it? And so what's been awesome, though, about the book of 1 Thessalonians, I told you this in the introduction, but yet we're going to start seeing it today. You know, there's an undercurrent through this whole book of Thessalonians, and every chapter says something about the coming of Christ or the wrath to come. Jesus is coming back, and so it puts the emphasis on the second coming of Christ, and I can't think of a better book to be in right now as we're looking at our world, and things are not just perfect and in order, and so I pray this book would fire us up, that we would learn how we should anticipate and long and wait for the coming of Christ. So let me jump into verse 6 as intro. Paul says, "And ye became followers of us." And once they received the gospel, Paul said, "You followed us and the Lord." And so I really preached this last week that, you know, this is discipleship. This is a true principle. We're missing this today. You know, Google can't disciple you, you know. I mean, I'm not saying it can't help you put a thermostat inside of your car, because it can help you do things like that. It makes all of us like, you know, shade tree mechanics. You know, it helps you fix things in the house, all that type of stuff. But what it lacks is the life, you know. And so Paul says, when you met Jesus, man, what you did is you became followers of us. So they didn't just meet Jesus. It never stops there. Now you're supposed to follow him. And so he said, you followed us and the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that, following human beings. You follow the human beings that follow Christ, right? Amen? That's the curse. Be careful. Who do you follow on social media? That was a question last week, because I looked and there was people I have followed and some people I had to quit following. And it's mainly because they weren't giving godly wisdom and advice. And so I was listening to it because they made a lot of sense, you know. And so I was like, man, that guy is in my ear way too much. I'm going to unfollow him. And so be careful who you follow. Psalms chapter 1 says this. Be careful who you hang with, because they'll rub off on you. If you're around sinners, they will entice you to do things that you're not supposed to do. We need to make sure that we have godly examples around us and we're following these people. So who are you following? What human being can you put up here that loves the Lord, that models Christ, that you're like, I'm following them? And then some of you more mature people, look behind you. Who's following you? You get to a spot, because the next thing he says is in verse 7, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So see, they followed to the point where they matured, then all of a sudden they were able to become an example. I always believe in the principle, you should always be trying to strive to be better, and you should have somebody that's further along in the journey than you, and then also have somebody that's a little further behind than you. So you're helping others up, and then you're reaching, you know. Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, they've done these principles for years. They get them from the Bible before the big book was ever put together. The Bible teaches these things. And so David in the Psalms says, if you walk with wise people, you'll be wise. And if you walk with knuckleheads, you will be a knucklehead. That's how that works. And so some of us maybe are where we're at because of the company we're keeping, you know. And so let's just make sure we're following godly people. And we're reaching out to people. We want other people to come along too. But I love how he says that, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now here's all new stuff. We're going to cover verse 8, 9, and 10 today. It says this. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Jesus, take your words, man. Break them down for us, Lord, so that we can take it. So that we can get it and understand it. God, left to our own minds and our own workings. And Lord, we just can't get it. This is a book that is spiritually discerned. So we are asking you to teach us. All of us, Lord, give us something today that will help us along on our journey, on this growth. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to have a couple outlines in the middle of here, and I'll give them all to you. And then I'll just jump over here and deal with one, and I know some people get frustrated with me because I'm not just like, hey, point one, A, B, C, point two, A and B, point three. You know, sometimes I tend to be like, yeah. It's a, some people like that. You know, if you've got attention deficit problems, then you're okay. You're like, oh, I can really pay attention to him. It's easy to pay attention. And honestly, I struggle when somebody goes, they put it in perfect order. I start counting blocks and bricks. Every church I've been in has block or bricks. So growing up, and I remember even in Kansas City when I went there, they had blocks. I just started counting the blocks. You know, I was like, wow, there's a lot of blocks on that wall, you know. And so anyways, I'll give you the outlines, and that way it makes you feel better. And then I'll go where the Lord leads. I always wonder that preaching's God using personality, but yet you're like, man, you know, want the Spirit to lead you. So sometimes if you go over on time 20 minutes, other people are like, hey, get a hold of yourself, dude. I'm just like, man, I'm just going till God's done. No, you could have ended it alone. You know, there's a balance there. I get that. So he says that you were in samples of all that believe in Macedonia. Then verse 8 and says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, but also in every place your faith, faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. And verse 9 says, for they show of us what manner of entering and we had into you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait. So let me give you the first outline today. It actually starts back in previous verses. It says in verse 5, for our gospel came not into you in a word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost, much assurance, as ye know. So I'm going to take the word ye. He says here that ye know what manner of men we were. So ye know this. And then the very next thing he says in verse 6 is, ye became followers. So you know us. Ye became followers. And then it says in verse 7, so that ye were in samples. So I preached that outline a few weeks ago, but now I'm going to give you a fourth bullet point to this, because you know what manner of men we were. So since you watched us and seen that it was real, we brought not only the gospel but our own souls, that ye became followers of us. And then ye eventually became in samples to other people that believe. But none of this would happen. None of this would have really taken place if you keep reading down here. He says in verse 9 how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So there's four ye's here. You know, I just want to point out this last one. Ye turn to God from idols. None of this would have ever taken place. You would have never become an example to other people. You would have never followed us if you weren't willing to turn. If you weren't, well, you know, another word we like to use is the word repent. You know, the word repent is, I was going after sin and my idols, and when I met Jesus, I did a turn, and I started heading towards God, right? Turn to God from idols. This is a two-part process here. We need to make sure we get the two parts down. It's very important, because what we do is we turn, but we turn to God, but from our idols. There's today, what we like to do is, we like turn from our idols and we look at God, and so then I want both. Can I have, and the of course, you know what the answer to that is. You can't have both. You can't serve both. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, you know, to put off the old man and his deeds. The process of growth, the process of repentance at salvation is, yeah, you see Jesus and everything he offers. So you decide to accept Jesus Christ. So you become a Christian. And a lot of times people will not let go of their idols. Now, I'm not saying, yeah, some people would say, then you're not a Christian. No, we all struggle with that. And people grow at different rates. I don't want to become like some weirdo there and think that I'm God. I'm not God. But there has to be a turning. This is what some people lack, is they lack the turn, right? Proverbs 6:23 even says that as a Christian, or actually it says as a righteous man, reproofs are the way of life. Reproof is correction. Reproof is when somebody goes, you know, your head, and then you turn. We do that to our kids, don't we? Don't you? Or maybe I should say a dog. That's a little bit better, isn't it? Because you'd be like, hey, ho! You know, he's getting ready to run. You know, he don't have a leash on. You're out in the yard. Somebody's walking the dog. And like, you know, and all of that is just saying, you better turn, son, or I'm going to get the belt out. Now, don't think of your kids, because I just treated him like a kid. I took off my belt like my mom did me. And our dog was belt trained. And so turn, dude. Turn. So this is called repentance in the Bible. Repentance is a change of mind, but it always goes down to your feet. Now, let me just say a few things about repentance, and we're going to move on to this passage. Because repentance is a turning. It's a change of mind. Heading towards the wrong thing, turning towards the right thing. We always, our whole Christian life, God's constantly going to point things out to just say, in this, that. You need to knock that off. This behavior is not right here. And what you do is once you recognize it, you got to let go of it. You got to turn from it. This is the, you know, when you're preaching salvation, you say, hey, turn or burn, right? You better turn towards Christ. But as a Christian, it's just like, my gosh, if you don't want to burn in lust towards things you should not, you've got to have this ability, to trust God and just say, God, I'm going to turn from that and I'm going to turn towards you. It's a replacement thing, you know. If you want to turn to God, you can't just keep going after your idols and the things you've always worshipped and the thing you love. The problem is a lot of us have a salvation story. You're like, this is who I was. I was heading this direction in my life. And it don't have to be like meth. Don't always think of the extreme stuff. You know, it's things that we idol, that we worship, that we spend time with. And you're going this direction when you meet Jesus. And when you got saved, you're like, my gosh, I'm a totally different person. Well, this process should take place really like on a daily basis for you and me as Christians. If we're growing people, he just says, guys, I want you to know all these things that you've done, we've seen you grow and be examples to other people. You know why it happened? Because you were willing to turn. That's why sometimes in church when people are like, hey, get this right with God, come forward. We used to do altar calls. If people ain't willing to come forward, they usually don't go forward in their life. They don't go forward with the decisions they've made. But if you make it public and you walk forward, and I hated it every year at church camp. I went forward every year. Because even though I was loving Jesus, there was always some idol I erected in my life and put together. And I'd get to camp and God would convict me and I'd say, okay, I want everybody to know something. This is an idol of mine and I'm done turning from that and I'm going to follow Christ. That's repentance. You know, in the Bible, the first one to repent is God. I love that. God is, in Genesis chapter 6, he repented. He was sorry that he made mankind. It got messy, right? But listen, God never repents because God's like, oh my gosh, I made a mistake. No, God doesn't make mistakes. You know who makes mistakes? Stephen Omen. I mean, we do, not just Stephen. We make mistakes. And so when you make mistakes, sometimes God, especially when judgment's coming down, what I love about God repents. When we make mistakes, you know what makes God repent? His mercy. His mercy upon us, and God will change his mind. I don't know about you, but we've all done this type of stuff before. You know, I told my kids, when we get home, you know, I put my mom on speakerphone yesterday, and my girls got to hear the whole conversation. And my mom just has a famous saying, and she has said it my whole life. And she'll grab me by my hair and just say, I am going to beat the blood out of you. You know, I'm like, wow, you know, that's nice. I love you, Mom. You know. But, and she says it, she said it yesterday, she said, I beat the blood out of you. You boys never ran for me. You know, she was talking like this real crazy aggressive mom, you know, but she kind of was. But I will beat the blood out of you. Okay. Which honestly always made us turn because there was a consequence for that. But so I'd tell my girls sometimes, I'd be like, when you get home, we'd be at somebody's house. They ain't listening. You know, they're doing something stupid. All right, we went to one home. This is a funny story because it was my child that seemed to be like a square. This is the girl that's a square. She never does anything right. I went out to get a drink in this guy's refrigerator. We're having a little Christmas discipleship over there. I opened the refrigerator door, and their kitten jumped out like a spring. And what happened is I don't know why, but Bethany just thought this kitten was cute. She loved it. She wouldn't let it go. And she didn't want it to run from her, so she decided she would keep it in its cage. And it happened to be the refrigerator. And praise God, it wasn't the freezer. I don't know long how it had been there, but the guy was over at the house. He's like, I can't believe she did that. I was like, I can't either. So you know what I said to her? I said, come here, sweetie. When we get home, I'm going to beat the blood out of you. You know, but you know how it is. They fall asleep. They get tired. So you're picking them up from the car and you're carrying them in. You're like, my gosh, I can't beat the blood out of this little thing, you know. And I put her in the bed, and there's times, but when we woke up, I always told her when I did this, there's times I've woken her up. Is that right? I don't sound like good English, but it doesn't matter. I'm not famous for that anyway. So I'd wake her up out of bed just to say, hey, you got a spanking coming, remember? you chose to sin, now you're going to choose to suffer. So you'll go to sleep quick, though. Crying makes you fall asleep easy. So your dad's going to help you here. But there were times I'd put her in bed, and I would just like, you know what? So in the morning, I'd say, do you remember that spanking you were supposed to get last night? She's like, yeah. I decided not to give it to you because I love you. I hate to do this. It's called mercy. Do you deserve it? And she'd say, yes. Most of the time she would. And I was like, I know, I'm going to not give it to you. And so this is our God. Our God, many a times in the Bible, his repentance was a lot of times because his judgment needed to come down upon mankind. And God, because of his mercy, repented. And he turned from it. I'm thankful for mercy. How about you? If it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, you know, yeah, that's where we would all be. But you know, men need to repent because men are contrary to God. We are contrary to what is right. So this is why the first message that Jesus Christ preaches is in Matthew chapter 3. And you know what he says? He comes right out the gate. Here's his first big message. Turn, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says that. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wow. God's, Jesus' first message on planet Earth was a message of turning, of repentance. So I just like this here when it says that all these good things happen and you guys are heading in a good place. But he basically ends this thing because, you know what? You turn to God, man. That's why you were able to do this. You turn to him. And now you you serve the living and true God. And now you're waiting for his return from heaven. So the first outline is going to be the ye. Ye knew what manner of men we were. Two, ye became followers of us in the Lord. Ye were in samples. But he says, because you turned, man. And guys, these are usable people. Usable people are not perfect people, right? But we're repentant people. We change. So guys, when you do wrong, the issue is not, the issue is the turning. It's where Jesus meets you at that spot. And just make sure you turn from the idols and to God. You need to have that process in your life. And notice it says here in Thessalonians 8, 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had into you and how you turned to God from idols to serve what? The living and true God. I just love those two words. The living and he's true. Because my idols are dead and they're false. We're deceived. You know how it is, what you think is going to make you happy. This guy, this girl, this job, this much money. You're just thinking, my gosh, you know, like, I'm like, no, I'm not taking that stimulus money. Who's going to pay for that? That's ridiculous. And then it comes in the mail. I'm like, we got money. We got money. You know, I'm all excited about it now. You know, so what we need to do is make sure that we know that God is living and alive. Because sin leads to death. All of our sin, all of our habits will always lead us to a spot of death. He says, and you turn to the living God. And he was what? The true God. I like living and true. And so we got life. Christians should have life inside of them. That's the problem. And I'm not joking about this. I got family members. Man, before my brother passed away, I went to his house. He said, hey, I got an apartment upstairs here, and I'm not renting it out anymore. Come see what I did to it. And he created a bar up there, a legit bar, bottles, everything, all kinds of liquor up in there. And then he had like 3 TVs up in there before restaurants had it. You know, now you go into every restaurant, I got 7,000 TVs. Like, this is ridiculous. You know, I didn't come to McDonald's to watch this, you know. And then everywhere you go, it's there. TVs everywhere, right? I go in there, and he's like, man, you know what we do? He said, our fantasy football league, he goes, they just come here every Sunday. They show up for lunch, and everybody pitches in like $5 to $10 in a bowl. He says, people bring drinks, but they can also drink, you know, donate. He said, but what happens is, he goes, somebody fires up the grill, and a lot of times he goes, my wife even goes out and cooks. She's like, I don't care about the games. I'll cook for you guys. He goes, so here we are about 1 o'clock eating a great meal, all watching football. He says, and we're doing our fantasy, doing jacking with each other, drinking, having a great time. And he goes, and then towards the evening, we take that money and usually just order pizzas or wings and bring them in. And they stay there until most of them stay till Sunday night football's over. I was like, man, that's fun. I'm not saying I want to go get drunk out of my mind or anything like that. I'm just like, why do they have all the fun? They do things all the time that are fun. People come up. I'm just like, Christians don't do that. Why are we so lame? Why can't we just casually do things like that and enjoy each other? That's not everything life is about. But I just feel like a lot of these guys that don't know Christ, they're dead. And I got life inside of me. We should party better than they do. I think the best parties should be thrown by believers, you know. We should have the most fun. Because you know what? What we're following is true. It's lasting. You know, and I know football's not lasting. But it sure is fun, you know. Like what? Enjoy it and have fellowship around it. I don't know. Turn to God from idols. And we do it to serve the living and the true God. So what are you following, man? Are you filled with life? Do you see the fallacy and the falseness and everything else, things that don't last? Why do we sell that to people? My waitress the other day, we were talking, and she says, you know what, I got a degree. She goes, I spent all this time going to school, and she goes, do you know I make more money at this restaurant than I do if I would live for my degree? I was like, yeah, you've been duped, man. I'm sorry. You know, now, if you're living for a calling, that's different. Then the money don't matter so much. But a lot of people do that part of life because they think, I'm going to stack up the bills, you know, because I want some sort of career that pays me a lot of money. I'm telling you, it's false. It's false, man. Don't ever believe that. The Lord offers you and me something that's real, something that's forever, right? An eternal perspective, right? So that's the first outline. Ye turned. I want you to see that. And it's important to turn. Gang, turn. Some of you know there's things in your life you need to turn from. Today's the day. It's a discipline. I'm not lying. And you're going to give, the Lord will strengthen you, but you got to make the turn. It's the motion light. It ain't coming on unless you move. Pop, then it'll come on. So you're like, well, I don't know why God ain't speaking. Why is my life so lame? Move. That's what you do. Make the turn. My brother, before he passed away, you know, everybody was supporting him because we wanted him so bad to recover from his addiction. So everybody gave him money, and everybody played a part in paying the bill, you know, all that messiness. And anyway, it got to the point where even people were borrowing money from other people to support and help, supposedly help him. But anyways, my mom, when my brother died, she made a list, and it was a long list of all the people that she owed money to, or they borrowed money from, or even my brother borrowed, even from their church. And anyways, my mom said, to do what's right, I need to turn from this way of thinking and this behavior. I got to pay this money back. So the first people my mom went to was her church, and she says, I know my son borrowed $1,500 from you. And they're like, whoa, your son's gone. She goes, no, I was here the day. I was with him to try to get him supposedly what he needed. They're like, no, this debt is forgiven. My mom said, you're not helping me. I got to pay it back. And almost every person she went to just said, hey, you don't owe us this money. She goes, please, I owe this money. Let me pay it back. The process is going to be good for me. I just use as an example that, one, what character my mother has, really. For years, she didn't do it the way she should have. And when she decided she was going to turn from that idol, and you know who her idol was? It was her kid. When she finally turned from that, forcibly had to turn from that, she turned to the Lord and she'd realize, you know what I need to do? I need to be about repenting and about turning. So just want to encourage you in this room today, turn. Make the turn today. Turn from it. You're not alone. We'll help you. We'll be there for you. It's difficult, especially if we're talking, you want to start talking about addictions. And by the way, all the things our flesh enjoy and all of our idols become addictions. I don't care what they are, right? And that's why I pay for fantasy football counseling every Monday, because I'm about to lose my mind. You do everything you should do and you still can't win. What do? You just seek counseling. That's what you do. I guess I could turn from that. That'd be difficult. Are you ready? Let me give you the next outline. It says, in verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Let me speak on these two things before. So this is kind of a little outline here, but it's not a real pretty one. But he says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. See, they were making a change, and not just in Macedonia and Achaia, everywhere they went. It says, but from you sounded out the word of the Lord. sound it out, man. Not only in Macedonia, but every place your faith to God word is spread abroad. Okay, two things. This is really simple, but listen to them. Did you know the word needs sounded out? The word gospel. You know, it's two words. Go spell. Make it plain and clear for people. They need to hear this message. Romans 1:15, Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready. I strive to preach it in Romans 15. Romans 10:14 says, hey, how are people going to hear the truth if we don't send a preacher? Preachers preach. That's what we do. We preach the gospel. So he says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Guys, you got to sound it out. Be careful of this. Don't get this wrong, because some of you really want to be a good example by just saying, well, like, I'm going to quit smoking cigarettes. Okay, if you need to quit smoking cigarettes, I get it. But, well, I just need to be a good testimony. Well, okay, I get that too. But, you know, everybody in the bar that gets a few drinks in them and smokes a few cigarettes, they start getting tanked up a little bit. They'll all start talking Jesus, man. They start talking the Bible. You're amazed at people that you think, I had no clue this guy knew this much about the Bible. Well, it's coming out now. The walls and the guards come down. He's a little bit relaxed and he's giving you the business, you know. So don't think for a second, I'm not saying being a drunken preacher, that's not a good idea. I don't work super well. So what you need to do is make sure that you are, though, with your mouth, sounding out the word of the Lord. People aren't going to get saved if you don't preach the gospel, right? That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:19, he's given us the word of reconciliation. Do you realize there's people around you, friends and family, that could be reconciled to God if you deliver the word? You got to deliver the word. And that's who Paul says, you guys. It was tough, man. The things you heard and you accepted the gospel, it was tough. People were on you. And you had the joy of the Holy Ghost. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord. My question for you is, from you is the word of God being sounded forth? It should be. Sound out the word. Give the word. It's important, right? And guys, listen, it'll change you. That's why a lot of cultures are controlled by the media. Why? Because that's the voice being sounded out. Everybody's hearing it. Remember the meme, like during, when everybody was like in COVID trying to figure it all out and we were all watching the news, I was just like, I just feel like I could die tonight in my sleep. Like, I didn't know. This was confusing. And they always put like the people like, you know, Mennonites or Amish folks that don't have TV, didn't have any radio, ain't listened to any of the media. They're like, you ever notice none of them are getting sick of the COVID? And they were, people were saying it was just a mental thing. We know that wasn't totally true, but there was a point there. The placebo effect, when you get it here, you know. And you know what I do? I give different flavors of Gatorade and Powerades, you know, to guys. And the fun of the, you know, is they guess what flavor it is. And it's so funny. If you say the flavor and somebody hears it, they go, oh, yeah. But I'm not lying. I'll have orange Gatorade and I'll squirt it in somebody's mouth and somebody will be like, this is grape, isn't it? And I'm like, no. He said, what is it? It's orange. Give them another drink. They're like, oh, yeah, it tastes like orange. We're all that way. And then sometimes I bring these weird flavors. This is pomegranate. Who knows what a pomegranate tastes like? So once I tell them it's pomegranate, and they're like, this is pretty cool. So I'm going around giving everybody, and the next day I just got fruit punch flavor. Here's fruit punch. Pour it in somebody, and you know what they're always like? This is that pomegranate, ain't it? I'm like, no, it's not pomegranate. You don't know what pomegranate tastes like? I'll give them another squirt, and they're like, oh, yeah, I get it now. Yeah, you got it because I said fruit punch. And now you can get the fruit punch in it, right? And so if we would sound forth the word of the Lord, people might get it. They might get it. I think there are people kind of looking. I know the Bible says none seek after God, but there are people in the pit of their life. They're wanting things to be better. They're wanting joy and comfort. They're after it. Me and you, if we'd sound forth the word of the Lord, they would say, that's it. That's exactly it. That's what I need. So church, we got to sound forth the word of the Lord. Now notice he says not only in Macedonia and Achaia. By the way, these two places that he went to, let me just give you a few verses on this. They went over to Macedonia and gave the word. Macedonia says, and this is where Paul says, trouble came unto me and a lot of fightings. Like there was a lot of spiritual warfare there. And there was a battle for Macedonia. But this is also the place where he, when he talks about giving, he mentions this place of Macedonia. These poor people in Macedonia, man, supplied our needs. They gave. I mean, the gospel had a great effect there. Their lives were totally changed. They went from takers to givers. Achaia is that place where the Bible speaks, the only time it speaks of addiction, where the house of Stephanas, they gave themselves to the ministry. They were addicted to the ministry. And these were the first fruits of a place called Achaia. Yeah, they got addicted to it. Man, if we would sound out the word of the Lord, we must preach. And people say this all the time, like, I don't want to preach at you. Stop saying that. Emit the sound. Let it out. Sound forth the gospel. It's made to be proclaimed. Then he says, from you sound out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia in verse 8, but also in every place your faith to God word spread abroad. Do you see this? He says, every place your faith spread abroad. They were spreading the word. They were opening their mouth, admitting sounds. But also, they turned to God. See, they lived it. You know, the Bible says faith without works is, our faith needs us to back it up with our feet for sure. And by the way, faith is meant to be spread abroad. Remember Acts chapter 1:8? We just had it in our vision conference. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where? Everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere we go. It's supposed to be spread abroad. And guys, a lot of people don't think that. Don't be so insecure. You know, the people that you get to minister to, you don't know where they're going to carry this. So yeah, be bold enough to open your mouth, but also be a man or woman of faith. Turn constantly from idols. Turn to God. Have this in your mind. Be this person that you show your faith by your works. That's why I admit good works. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I've already got heaven. But I do want people to know the difference that Jesus makes. The Bible even speaks about exercising godliness. You know what some of us need to do? Our faith is not spreading abroad because we're not exercising godliness. We're not adding to our faith, like Peter says, virtue. Add to virtue knowledge, or however that goes. Where you're always adding things and abounding. You're growing. So church, quick message here on this little outline is this. Sound forth the word of the Lord. The word needs to hear it. And don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Sometimes we play in our heads that, man, they're going to reject me. They're going to think this about me. Or I can't do this at my workplace. I like when people say that. Yeah, cowards don't do it there, for sure. But don't be a coward. Every opportunity and door, and God will open those doors. You can spread forth the word. You got to admit it from your mouth and preach the gospel. And then may they see your feet and your faith to God. It'll spread abroad. So people that will get after it, like this church at Thessalonica, he says, man, it's going everywhere. It's going viral, right? And honestly, any little thing, don't we do the same thing? That's how things go viral, on social media. Somebody does something, whether it's stupid or funny or dead serious or contrary. And then all of a sudden you're like, my gosh, this guy is a sensation. This lady here is everywhere. She's got over 2 million views. Why? And a lot of times she was just a dork. Funny, ain't it? Okay, it is pretty funny. But why don't we take the things of God and just make them viral? Share those things. Put them out there. You know? And I know people got cute cats and they're laying on your shelf and you want to post it and snap it out there. And I just got news for you. I'm not against cats, but I don't give a care about your cat, you know? That's just, and you don't care about mine. You've never asked about that cat, right? You don't care. It's our cat. We're supposed to care for our cat, right? It's not like we're talking kids here. We're talking an animal, right? So he says, from you sound out the word of the Lord and your faith to God were to spread abroad. Does everybody see that? It needs to happen that way. Okay, and this is the last outline and I'm done. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad. That should be spreading, man. It should. The gospel would spread like COVID if we would just sneeze on people. Let it out, man. Don't cough in your elbow. Let it fly. That's what you do. Let it spread. You ever watch that? I like when they do them special dark cameras and people are like, and you just see go, I'm just like, the gospel would do that. Put it out. Admit it out there. Let the word go forth and somebody will catch it. You know how it happens, doesn't it? Then it says, so that we need not to speak anything. And verse 9 says this, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you. What? As the word got spread abroad, he says, they are showing what manner of entering we had unto you. It proves that ye turned to God from idols, because I'm seeing a difference in their life. Dude, this thing's going viral. It's spreading. That's what it's supposed to do. And now he says, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivers us from the wrath to come. Ready? Here's a 3-point outline. He said, you turned, ready, to God. You turn to God, and then the next thing it says, from idols, to serve the living God. To God, to serve, and then 10, to wait. Three things. Remember this outline today. This was kind of the newer one I wanted to give you. So, first of all, we already talked about turning to God. If you turn and repent of your sins, you become a Christian, you have turned to God. From the idols, right? We get that part. It's got to be from the idols. You turned to God. But the next thing he says here is he says you turn to God, but he says from idols, but to serve the living and true God. Did you guys catch this? You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You worship, you follow what you serve. You know, if I love my wife, just not words. I serve her. I do things for her. I care for her, right? And this is why some of our like idols we have, we're serving them. We do things and put energy into it. We need to knock that off. And we need to, as we turn to God, the next thing you know, we need to spend time in service for him. Spend your time there. So some people, we all got to work jobs, but some of us, our job is our life. That's a sad spot to be in. We turn to God from idols. And he says, and this is what it is. It shows what manner of entering we had. And now you're serving the living. So to God, turn to God, and then to serve. So mark this down. If you're writing notes, I don't know if you knew this or not, but you're saved to serve. If the universe revolves around you, then you were saved and Jesus took your sins. Now you can do whatever you want to, big boy. This story's not about you. The main character is Jesus. You've been serving yourself in sin, and look where it's led you. It should lead you to a place. Eventually, it leads to death, eventually. But now, listen, you see God and the gospel, and it changed your life. So now what? When you turn to God, the thing that keeps this ball rolling is now you're going to serve him. That's what it says here, right? It clearly says that you are going to now, you turn to God from idols to serve him. You turn to God to serve him. So gang, some of us are missing this right here. You don't serve him. Like, is Christianity, I don't see this New Testament Christianity where you get yourself like some sort of cappuccino, you sit in a very comfortable chair, you open up the Bible and you read the word. You're like, isn't this great? I think I got a little extra time. I think I'll listen to something Christian. You listen to it and you're like, man, it wasn't that good. I think I'll share it. I'm filled with joy. My life is good. You know, I'm like, there's lost people that need hope all around us, especially this time of year, man. We've got to become hope dealers, man. We've got to give it out to everybody. That's our job. We're supposed to serve. God, what do you want me to do today? Every event, every hour, when you get done with lunch at work, look at yourself. Bow your head at the place you work, or you're standing there and just say, God, how can I serve you today? What do you want me to do? Man, you'll hear from him. You might not always like what he has to say. But it's time for us to serve the Lord. He's the living and true God. By the way, you know, nobody, being a Christian, this is what's hard about. Just like, man, being a Christian, now I got all kinds of money. Don't listen to that. You know, my life is better. You know, my addictions are gone. My bank account's big. My cars are great. You know, I'm like, who told you that was Christianity? You're watching too many cable TV preachers. That ain't life. That ain't real life. You know what we do? I meet Jesus Christ. He just says, and now you're going to serve me the rest of your life. Guys, you know what my alternative was before meeting him? I was damned. I was condemned. My sin was leading me to a place of death and separation from God, man, forever. I had judgment coming upon me, right? The wages of sin, man, I was going to try to pay that price myself, and it ain't going to work very well. Jesus comes along and takes all that from me. Come on, didn't you watch Robin Hood? I'm talking about the one where Kevin Costner, you know, and Morgan, remember Morgan Freeman saved his life, and Morgan Freeman's like, hey, now I'm going to serve you and follow you, and he's like, I don't want you to follow me. And Morgan Freeman's just like, sorry, you don't have a choice. This is about honor now. I'm going to serve you. And he was like, always wanting to repay this debt and save his life now, you know, which is kind of a great principle. Like, hey, guys, are you serving God? You're a servant, you know, and being a Christian, you know, man, now my life is perfect. No, you know what? I'm a servant now. Well, I was serving other things. The question is, who do you serve today? I'm going to serve the Lord. So just want to put this out to you. He owns me. He paid a price for me. I've been bought with a price. So have you, if you know Jesus. I have no opinion. God never comes down and just says, hey, Mike, I want to ask you something. What do you think I should do here? That never has happened to me. As a matter of fact, I like when God talks to Job in the book of Job. And he is like, hey, where were you when I formed the foundations of the world? I wasn't even born yet. Don't forget that. I was here the whole time. I didn't ask your opinion. I'm not asking your counsel here. So being a servant, you're just like, you know, you're never on the line and somebody comes by and says, how do you think we could be more productive here? No, there's usually other people making this. You get in the military and you're just a foot soldier. You know how it is. Nobody's sitting back and they don't pull 1,200 soldiers together and say, we're going to take a poll what our next move should be. Because, you know, the worst way to not get decisions made is pull a group of people together. So they call them councils. They don't work very well. Nothing ever gets done. So to serve God, remember, you're owned. You have no authority, right? But what's awesome about it is the mentality of serving God. You know what it makes you? It turns you into a leader. Because Jesus said that. The greatest leader of them all, it's the servant. The one that serves, servant of all. He serves and he's the greatest leader that we have. You will, by serving God, serving your church, serving believers around you, serving people, you are on the road to leadership. Don't let anybody tell you any different than that. Like you're better than that. You know, you'll never find a woman or a guy being a leader that don't serve. And if they are, they're not a respected one and people don't really follow them. They got a position. But last of all, you'll have an intimate relationship. Because at the end, you know what Jesus says? At the end, Jesus says, he calls the disciples. He says, you guys, I'm not calling you servants. You're my friends. Friends, how did I get there? Because you served me. Okay, ready? Christians have been saved a long time. I want to quote John 15, verse 14 to you. You know what it says? Jesus says, hey, you are my friends if you do what I command. Does that verse ever strike you odd? I've always read it like, what kind of friendship's that? Hey, if you want to be friends with me, you're going to do exactly what I say, okay? Well, I thought we were friends. Hey, don't fool yourself. You're not equals. Jesus is basically saying, you were saved to serve me. And then when you serve me, we enter into a special relationship. And yeah, you do got a real relationship, a real friendship going there. So I guess the point here is if you've turned to God, now it's our responsibility to serve him. That's why we were saved, right? We were saved to what? This message needs spread abroad. That's the whole point. It's like, you guys are doing it, man. You're opening your mouth. You're people of faith. You're living it, right? So you're going after it. Now let me end here. We're about done. It says in verse 10, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This is kind of beautiful because, so right, we turn to God to serve, to wait. To wait. Yeah, to wait for him from heaven. And it says here that yeah, he's the one that delivered. We had wrath coming. He delivered us from the wrath. Now get this, folks. This church went through hell becoming a Christian. They had all kinds of friction and family members, and it was pressure. And so since there was all this pressure, you know, they were moving, doing, shaking, all this type of thing. So they had difficulty. And he said, man, I know you've received the word much affliction, but you had a joy of the Holy Ghost. Guys, I know this has not been easy. Church, it's not easy following the Lord. He says, and this is another good reason to wait. To wait from the Lord from heaven. See, the one upon his first coming, He delivered us from our sin. And that sin was going to, in eternity, point us to wrath. And now we look for his second coming. Because the mess this church was in, delivery's coming again. It's going to be physical. That's why in the book of Romans, you know, Paul talks about two types of adoption, doesn't he? First one's spiritual. The second one's physical.
Look, right, for hope. But always remember this. The implication is, when you're waiting, but you need delivered. So you're waiting because you're in a tight spot. I'm in a fix. And that's why most of us, I'd say, hey, are you really looking forward to Jesus coming back? If you would say I'm a Christian, I've never even really thought about that event for a while. You know why? You're comfy. When you're comfortable, why would you want to leave, you know? That's why they say when you get home from work, you decide you're going to sit in the chair, lay back on the couch. Bad move, Sarah. I wasn't speaking to you, Winter, so I just go up the name. Sorry. Come on, George. Sorry. That's a bad move because you get comfortable and it's so hard to get up. Have you ever been that way at night? And you're like, somebody said, man, sit down. And you're like, man, I can't. Because if I do, I'm gone. I'm going to be sleeping real quick here. Right. So in this situation, if you get where you're serving God like you should, you can't wait to see the deliverer face to face. I'd like to point you to one passage of scripture, and then we'll end on this. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. So the message to remember today is to God, to serve, to wait. And the word wait, don't think, you know, we know the word wait, right? It's with service. So that's why you have a server or a waiter at the restaurant. They're working their tails off, right? That waitress is going crazy. So think of that too. You're waiting and looking for hope. You're waiting on his coming because, guys, this is tough. It's so crazy. When you get somebody newly saved, like to get Christians in their Bible is tough. It's just tough. Especially if they are not readers. And yet, there's a whole other level of study of the Bible. And that's even more intimidating, right? It's funny to talk to Christians and you reach a spot like one of our discipleship lessons, we talk about giving and what it looks like. It's hard for people that haven't done that before to give. And yet, you get in God's Word and you'll find a whole other level called sacrifice. I don't really want to do that, and I don't really want to give that. I don't think we have that. All of a sudden, then, you got an attitude. But I'll tell you what, if you live in that zone where you're serving the Lord, there'll be something in you. You know, when you go to bed at nighttime, that's why in church, we used to sing an old hymn years ago. Man, it would get me emotional. I'm emotional thinking about it. Because we would sing, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all because we've given our guts, man. I've sweated on this thing and stayed up late at nights. It's going to be worth it all when I see his face one day. And I can't wait to see it. Some people are like, oh my gosh, I'm a little bit afraid of judgment. I'll tell you right now, man, I hope I'm just going to run and fall into his arms. My gosh, that was work. Woo! Going against a culture like that, I've been waiting for this day. Come on up in here. You know, but when you ain't serving like that, if you're serving your idols, there's things you want down here. That's what your time and energy is going to other things besides godliness. Isaiah 40, verse 31, just a beautiful passage. It gets quoted a lot on stuff, but I just love it. It says in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And then we get to verse 31. But they that wait on the Lord, the people that will wait on him. That means what? Yeah, you turn to God, and now you're to serve him. And now you're in a position to wait. Because he's coming back soon. In your hard times, you're just waiting for that day of deliverance. And it's only people that really are waiting on. And when I say wait, you know what that means. It's not sitting there just relaxing. You're waiting in anticipation. The deliverer, the hero, is going to show up. Guys, I've been telling people about a God for the last 30 years. I've never seen him. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to soil myself when I see him. When it's finally like, I'm telling you, man, my faith is now sight. All the things I've been saying by faith to spread this message abroad, we should be in hope for this day. He said, it's only those that wait on the Lord. It says, the Lord shall renew their strength. Because you're going to get tired. You'll have a renewal. And there's all kinds of great verses on him making you anew again. Hey, Christian in this room, you know what you need? Jesus made you new one day. You're missing the renewal. Constantly. You know where that comes from? Waiting on the Lord. You're serving with all your might, and that's what this church is doing. Is, amen. And now you're waiting on his return. He delivered you from the wrath to come. Can't you wait to see him? You're not coming forth to wrath. You're coming forth to the deliverer. Everybody else is going to face wrath, not you. But only people that wait upon the Lord, they're going to what? Renew their strength. What's he say next? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You soar above this planet. I'm not tied to the soil here. My roots are not down here. This is not my home. I'm able to fly. He says, you will run and not be weary. You'll have this longevity, this endurance. You can push through, but only if you're looking. Only if you're waiting for him to come back. You don't experience these things without it. You're focused on your running. No, you should be focused on the hope, the deliverer coming. Your strength will be renewed. You'll fly. You'll run and not be weary. And then he says, and you'll walk and not faint. That's why the Bible says, hey, receive Christ, now walk in him. Oh, to God, you return to God, now you serve him. That's how, you're a servant now. Do you serve him? What do you do on Wednesday night? Hey, you got to go to work. We all got to put in the time. Skip work. Think of all your spare time. Some of you would say, I don't have no spare time. Okay, then what are you doing during that time? What takes up your time? Outside of the required work that you got to pay your bills and, you know, get to the doctor and eat and all that kind of stuff. Think of your spare time. What do you do? What activities consume you and me? Because what it should be is serving the Lord so much that I can't wait till he comes back. And part of it is I do get weary. But you know what he says? If you wait on me, you won't. You know why? It's this church. This church says, because I've been delivered from the wrath to come. I'm not facing wrath. When I know the best days are coming, I can push through. I can push through that, right? We'll walk and we'll not faint. Remember, those promises only come to people that wait on the Lord. So as he said, you turn to God from idols, church. Don't forget, you turn to God. Now my life's much better. Now, I'm sober now. Oh, you think that's why you got salvation? So you could be sober? Really? No, I'll tell you why you got saved. You turned to God. God illuminated you. You repented. You turned to God from your idols. You were saved to serve. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose sight of that. You were saved to serve. You weren't saved to be happy. You weren't saved just to get off of your addiction. But you got to get off the addictions because then you can't serve. Because you know how addictions work. They take you. Eventually they're your master, right? No, Jesus wants to be your master. And then he ends in verse 10 and says, to wait for a son from heaven. That's who he raised from the dead. Even Jesus. He's the one who delivered us from the wrath to come. And guess what? He's delivering again. He delivered me spiritually. And now we have spiritual, physical deliverance coming. You see that? You see that? So there's several outlines in this passage. I want to encourage you today. If anything spoke to you, would you deal with it? Let's leave this Christmas season and go out, let's proclaim with our mouths the word of the Lord. Let's let our faith and let this thing spread abroad. It should take over like wildfire. And guys, our message is not MCBC. We're a bunch of troubled people. You know why we're here this morning? Because we're all beggars and we need bread. We're all needy and we come here to get the word. I got some crumbs up here. Anybody want a little few of them? That's what we're doing here together. We get to come and sing and praise our Lord and lift it up on high. But our message is, our deliverer's coming. And if you don't know him, wrath is coming for you. I don't want my neighbors to experience that. Because I don't want my enemies to experience that. I mean, I want to black their eye, don't get me wrong. I don't want their eternity to be just done, right? To suffer? Let's pray. What has God said to you today? What's he said? We talked about sounding out the word, your faith spreading abroad. And guys, let your faith spread. Some of you, man, you got a great story. You need to tell that story, right? Get after it. Get after it. You turn to God. Some of you are still lingering, still holding on to your idols. You need to turn from idols, turn to the Lord. There's got to be a turning. There's got to be a change. Change is going to require your feet to do something different. To God, to serve the living and true God. So our job is to serve. Some of you, how is your service to the Lord? Hey, and I know some of you in this room, you give your guts for him. And it shows, man. It shows. And then it puts us in a spot in verse 10 where he says, to wait for his son from heaven. Man, he raised him from the dead. You know, I've spiritually been raised from the dead, but I can't wait. I can't wait physically to experience it, right? Lord, teach us to wait on you, man. Teach us, God. I pray for the people in the room that are struggling in their service towards you, Lord. I pray that they would realize why they're even saved. Lord, this is really for your glory. I pray we can learn something in this church at Thessalonica. I pray that we can totally get after it. May this message spread. And God, you said it would. If we proclaim it with our mouth and live it with our feet, it would spread everywhere. I pray that we would do our responsibility here, that we would desire to serve you. Lord, we can't wait to see you. We can't wait to everything we've believed and held on by faith. It's going to be great the day that it's sight. Lord, thank you for saving us from the wrath to come. It's in your name I pray. Amen.